Boston's Museum of Science recently reopened after a pandemic shutdown with socially distanced visitors, masks, and a little girl feverishly drawing.
My name is Delaney, and I'm drawing an airplane.
In this exhibit, kids like Delaney get to redesign Boston transportation without cars. She will scan her picture, and then suddenly it's flying over a huge movie screen image of the city.
That is cool.
The COVID piece is right here. I can just show it to you.
But right around the corner, COVID-19 exhibits. If ever there was a question about the importance of science, 2020 has silenced it. In most quarters, anyway, scientists are the new rock stars. Anthony Fauci, the lead singer. Boston's Museum of Science is putting their work front and center. We're going to have more of my visit. But first, let's bring in Christine Reach, Senior Vice President of Exhibit Development and Conservation at Boston's Museum of Science. Hi, Christine.
Thank you for having us.
Us is Tim Ritchie, the museum's president. Tim, welcome to you as well.
Pleasure to be here, Robin.
When did you realize as a museum, this is science, we have to respond to this?
Right at the beginning in February, we started doing programming on the floor on the coronavirus. And then on March 8th, we gathered the whole community for a town hall. Little did we know that that very week, we would have to close our doors. And many people did close their doors right then. So we continue to do coronavirus programming online in lots of classes like Ask a Scientist and MOS at Home. And on the basis of that, we were able to develop the information we needed for the exhibits that Christine and her team are putting together and now are going to be open to the public as we have opened our doors.
And Christine, we are very lucky in the Boston area because you had access to a lot of people, including Ashish Jha, a practicing physician and epidemiologist at Harvard, recently appointed dean of Brown University School of Public Health.
We reached out to him months ago to learn about what's happening. And we realized that one of the best things we could do was provide our public with the opportunity to have one-on-one interactions with Dr. Ashish Jha. So we have partnered with a group called Storyfile, and they have an artificial intelligence engine. We partnered with Dr. Jha and asked him if he would be our virtual scientist in residence. So visitors can ask a question of virtual Dr. Ashish Jha, and he will respond based on the searching of the video files. We have recorded him answering over 550 different questions over 2 full days of time.
Okay, well, this past weekend, I saw the virtual Dr. Jha on a big screen in a small theater at the museum. A museum staffer relays questions that museum visitors submit on an app. Let's start with one visitor.
I'm going to ask it about mutation.
Mutation of the virus?
Yeah. Initially, I heard that it already had mutated, but I haven't heard anything anywhere since, so I'm curious as to what it's actually doing.
Now, I've heard that a lot of bacteria, viruses can mutate. Can coronavirus mutate?
While most of the common mutations that happen are not going to have any effect on people getting reinfected, there is a theoretical possibility that the mutation can be so severe that people can be reinfected or the vaccine we develop may not be effective. But I think that's extremely unlikely.
Of course, everybody's going to try. It's like Siri or Alexa. People are going to try to ask them, you know, wacky questions. But what are you feeling from people who come in? Is this something that people want to know about?
People want to know, you know, what is this virus? Where did it originate? How is it transmitted? They're also looking for science to provide them with a sense of hope. You know, how do we get past this as a society? It's been really heartwarming to watch families interact with some of these exhibits. I saw a mom as she was putting hand sanitizer on her 5-year-old, reading a label to that 5-year-old around all the different efforts that are taking place in science right now to create a better future.
But Tim, how do you do this? We learn new things, like now we know about aerosolized droplets of breath that might last in the air longer. You know, as the science changes, what do you do with your exhibits?
So the way we keep up is by piggybacking on the School of Public Health or the medical community around us.
Hmm. Christine, we know you also have a provocative questions experience.
So our provocative question that we are asking right now is, should Massachusetts residents be required to share their location data with local health authorities to help stop the spread of COVID-19? And what we found is that when we present our visitors with this framework and they can think about their social values and they can think about the scientific evidence, they're actually more likely to use the scientific evidence for their decision making.
Okay, let's set this up. People sit across from each other at kiosks. They're asked to make decisions. For instance, they're asked who gets to decide whether we use cell phone tracking for COVID-19.
Individuals should be able to opt in or out of sharing their cellular location data. State government. The Massachusetts state government.
They're given all sorts of options, but that's the main divide. Individual or some sort of mandate. Now, I found a mom and her teenage daughter wrestling with this. Let's start with the mom.
I think we should be able to choose if we allow it or not.
So you said individuals should, not government.
Yeah. You chose. Individuals should be able to opt in.
Okay,
or
so you chose that too?
Cellular location data.
You chose individuals too.
Yeah. And why? Swipe down to continue when you are done discussing.
Why do you think that, honey?
Because I think we should be in charge of ourselves.
Why do you think they might want to know that information?
I don't know.
Once they've made their choices, they hear about research from different studies meant to prompt reflection on what their choices were.
On the Isle of Wight, the implementation of a digital contact tracing app downloaded by 38% of the population was correlated with a significant decrease in the spread of COVID-19 compared to other areas of the UK. Swipe right or left to explore your options.
Does that make you change your mind?
I don't know.
Swipe up to review your
case. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it was still an app that people chose whether to download or not. So I think if it's an option to download it, then yeah, that makes sense to be able to opt in or out.
By the way, the provocative question exhibit is in the Wicked Smart Gallery, which I'm one of my favorite galleries at the museum. The future of health. You have a health map interactive to see how COVID-19, which is an airborne disease, how they're spread.
So we've partnered with Boston Children's Hospital, and they are tracking the disease outbreak of COVID-19. And we're directly connecting to their database. So as different transmissions happen over time, as the pandemic spreads or slows, we can present that data.
Colored squares on the map represent the number of reported cases of COVID-19 in a given area. The COVID-19...
Look at the United States. The United States seems the most saturated of every country.
Breath, fever, and loss of taste or smell.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. The screens showed cases multiplying and piling up across the U.S. I watched with two masked sisters, 8 and 9, who'd wandered up.
Look at this, you guys. This was like July.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to need to make a vaccine soon.
The active center of the pandemic.
There's a
long-standing societal inequities have resulted in some populations facing a higher likelihood of contracting COVID-19.
And you've got your mask on. You're safe. See you guys.
And Tim Ritchie, you know, we said, you know, science is in the limelight right now, but science is also under attack.
I think this is one of the most profound times in my life where science has become public, it's become participatory, and it has become, unfortunately, a dividing line when it should be a rallying, uniting force. The whole story of how we're racing to the vaccine is another one we're going to be telling. How it started really by the decision in China to make the entire genome of this virus available immediately so the whole world could work on it together. This is a great story that somehow has gotten a negative tinge to it. And we're going to do everything we can to say, no, this is the human moment to rise up, to engage rather than to retreat.
That's Boston Museum of Science President Tim Ritchie. And we also spoke with Exhibit Development Vice President Christine Reach. And I want to thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
And remember, most museums require reservations. Call ahead. And we'll link you to Boston's terrific online stuff, podcasts, and interactives at herenow.org.